last in our series that we've been looking at about encouraging words. And we mentioned at the beginning of this series that we're indebted to the work of Rick Warren, who first preached this series. But first, a little story. It's about a man who was training to be a paratrooper. And in his training, before his first jump, he was given these instructions. He said there were four things. Firstly, jump when you are told. Number two, count to 10 and pull the ripcord. Number three, in the unlikely event that the chute doesn't open, pull the emergency ripcord. And number four, when you get down, a truck will take you back to the depot. Well, the young man memorised these instructions, gets up in the air, and it comes for him to jump from 10,000 feet. And the paratroopers begin to jump, and then when this young man jumps out of the aeroplane, he jumps, counts to 10, pulls the cord, nothing happens. Number two, remember, number two, the chute fails to open, so he pulls the emergency ripcord. That doesn't open also, no parachute. And as he's falling to the ground, he's heard to cry out, "I bet there's no truck to take me back to the depot either." Disappointments are a common experience of life, aren't they? There are many things that disappoint us. Events disappoint us. You plan to go and see something, and you prepare for it, you buy the tickets perhaps, and then you get there and you find that it's not what you expected. The actual program perhaps doesn't live up to your expectations. You come away disappointed. Or the film that you went to see and you were really hoping it was going to be great, you walk out and you think, "Oh, I wasted my money." And things tend to disappoint us as well. Sometimes we look at the Christmas tree and we see the present underneath and we think, "Oh, that box looks like it might be something really special here," and you start to imagine what could be in it, and then you open up the present and more socks and undies or something like that that you really weren't hoping for. You're disappointed. I had an experience just recently where I thought, this eBay thing, I'm going to try it out. I'm going to actually buy something. So I spied a coffee maker. I thought, this will be good. You know, it makes nice coffee. I'm going to order this. So I put in my bid and I watched over a week and I thought, I'm going to get this. And I kept bidding and finally mine was the winning bid. There was only two people who bid, but mine was the winning bid. And then I wait for another week. I have to pay the extra postage for it to come. And then finally I go to pick up my coffee maker. I open the box and now to assemble it. Little instructions that were so microscopic, you could hardly read what they were. And then I put it together and I get the coffee out ready. I could smell the coffee. This is going to be great. And then I find when I'm putting it together, this is not working. This is not made properly. And I find that it doesn't go together. There's bits that don't fit and there's a bit missing as well. It went out in the rubbish. I could have claimed it back and I thought, well, I was too disappointed about my experience on eBay. Since then, I've actually purchased something that did actually work, which was far better. But people can be the greatest disappointment to us, can't they? Also, people who let us down. There's a woman I read about in the UK who was so disappointed and disillusioned with her experience with men that she decided to marry a tree instead. This lady's name, environmentalist Dee Brophy, said she had fallen for and announced herself engaged to a silver birch near her South London home. Her only problem was getting a vicar to agree to marry her at the ceremony. She said, "This tree will be more loyal and affectionate than some guys I've dated." Sad, very sad. But isn't it true that all of us from time to time have people who don't appreciate us, who let us down, people who are ungrateful, people who hurt us sometimes unintentionally and sometimes intentionally? A broken promise, a misunderstanding, people who cop out and people who let us down. So to make it through life, we've really got to learn how to get on with people and learn how to deal with disappointments. And one of the secrets of life, I guess, is to learn how to cope when these disappointments come along and to deal with people like that. And in our reading today, as we've read about Moses, we see Moses as a man who knew how to deal with disappointment. He's described as being the most patient man around in his day. And we see Moses as the leader of the people out there in the wilderness, 40 years wandering around. And time again we read how the people complained, the people grumbled, and God kept giving them test after test. And the people kept complaining and criticizing their leader. At one point they say, "Moses, you just brought us out here in the desert to die." And I guess Moses might have thought, is that the kind of thanks I get? So we come to Exodus 15, our Bible reading today. And we see that the Israelites are facing a water problem. They faced a number of water problems. The first was the Red Sea. How do we get across it? But God saw them through there. And then the next water problem was they're wandering in the desert for 3 days and their water bottles are running empty and they don't have any water, so they're wondering, how are we going to get a drink? Who's going to help us? And then they come to this place called Marah, where there's a water hole. And there's water there, but when they drink it, they find that it's bitter. And of course, what do? They start complaining. As we look at Moses' life here, we see three lessons about how he dealt with disappointment. Now, if you're a person who's been following this series and you've been using Contact on the back page, some points, some places to fill in. If you're a completer finisher and you need to fill it in, then get your pens out ready now because we're going to go through these points. If you miss it, I'm going to put it up on the screen at the end with the places to fill in. The first lesson we learn with dealing with disappointment is that the greatest successes in life are often followed by failure. We see this in our story today from the Bible. We read there how the Israelites had crossed the Red Sea, and there's great jubilation and celebration. There's Miriam with a, what is it? Tambourine, thank you. And they're dancing and praising God. They're giving thanks for God delivering them because they'd seen that army coming after them, the Egyptians following them. They were flying high. They were on a spiritual mountaintop. And they were, I guess they were thinking, we're unbeatable. God's on our side. 3 days later, they're grumbling. They're complaining. And we see this later as we read further on in the story about the Israelites when they eventually enter the promised land. They come to the city of Jericho. And you know the story, how the trumpets blow and the walls come tumbling down and the greatest enemy in that country is defeated. But then the very next week, the Israelites go and fight. They go to the little village of Ai. And there they get defeated. You see, they get puffed up with pride and overconfident in their own strength. And this is a fact of life, isn't it, that the eyes often get us. The big crisis of life, well, we know how to handle that. You know, when we get sick or we're in hospital or someone dies around us, we call out to God often. We turn to God because that's the big thing in life. But when it's the little, day by day, things that come along, we often find it hard to depend on God for the little problems of life, the daily irritations. Sometimes we get presumptuous and we think, I can handle this one, God. It's the eyes of life that get us down. Have you had a big success in your life? Then perhaps the lesson of the day is to watch out. Be prepared. Why did God lead them to Marah, where it was bitter? In verse 25. Well, it says that the Lord made a decree and a law for them, and there he tested them. You might underline the word test. This is a test. God led them to Marah, a bitter disappointment, as the word Marah means bitter, to test their reaction. Do they really trust me? You see, getting across the Red Sea, it was all God did it. He opened the way. And really, I don't know how much faith they had that it would happen. But here now, they've got to learn the lesson that they're going to be God's, they are God's people, and they have to rely on him for every step along the way. So the water's bitter and they're thirsty. What are they going to do? Well, what does disappointment say about you? How do you handle it? How do you handle disappointment? Well, Israel's response in verse 24 was the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" This is a typical response sometimes to disappointment, is that we complain, we criticize the leader, we shift the blame. The second lesson we can learn is that the greatest services in life are often followed by forgetfulness. Israel had such a short memory. 3 days after the Red Sea crossing, they just had this incredible miracle. And 3 days later, at the first sign of trouble, they're already doubting. Poor Moses. 1 minute he's the star, and next he's the scapegoat. And yet we see, as we look at Moses, that he doesn't give up. Have you noticed how people forget things quickly? It's human nature, isn't it? We forget so quickly the things that have happened. You might find this in your family situation. When you've helped someone out, they've forgotten about how you helped them last week or last year, and they impose upon you. Or it might happen in your workplace, where you've been contributing well to the company, working well, had some good contribution to make, and you've been praised, but that's forgotten because today's today and there's another crisis or another problem. They've already forgotten your big victory. The greatest services in life are often followed by forgetfulness. Sometimes children forget their parents, forget what their parents have done for them. Bosses forget employees, and even spouses take each other for granted. Is there someone that you're taking for granted today? Someone that you've forgotten about? Well, what do you do when people let you down or disappoint you? I want to suggest this morning 5 things. If we look at Moses' life, we can see 3 things that he didn't do and 2 things that he did do. And from these we can learn about disappointments. Firstly, when you're disappointed, don't curse it. In other words, don't retaliate. Don't try and get even. Don't strike back. Romans 12:14 says, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse." You know, if I was Moses in this situation, I'd be saying, "Have fun in the desert, guys. I'm off. I wouldn't be putting up with this. For all that I've done, you know, I left my quiet little looking after the sheep and having a great time out there, a little quiet life, and I went back to Egypt. I faced the Pharaoh, and I think I would have been wanting to nick off." But Moses didn't say that. He didn't try and lash out. He didn't curse. Because the moment we start retaliating, God stops defending you. And who do you want to defend you? You or God? You've got a choice. God says, if you go out and start cursing people, I'm backing off. But when you let God settle the score, well, you're well represented. So don't curse it. And when you're let down and disappointed, don't rehearse it. You know what it's like? Somebody says something to you, and you think, "Oh, that's not really fair." Or someone doesn't appreciate what you've done. And you start going over in your mind, over and over and over. You rehearse it, these things that have happened to you. And what happens? What starts off as a little thing gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And you start adding other things to it as well. We find that this dangerous habit of grumbling can become addictive. And soon your whole life can become consumed with it. So don't curse it when you're disappointed, and don't rehearse it. That doesn't solve it. And thirdly, don't nurse it. Don't feed it or take it personally. Have a pity party. Don't allow it to make you negative. In fact, Ephesians 4:26, 27 says, "Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, and don't give the devil a foothold." And Job 18:4 says, "You're only hurting yourself with your anger." So don't allow this disappointment to make you negative. Human nature is, when we're hurt, is to draw in tight, a protective shell. I'm not going to allow anyone else to get close to me. I wonder if that's your way of dealing with disappointment. Maybe someone in the past has hurt you and you've just put up the shutters and said, I'm not going there again. Maybe there's some area of your life that still hasn't been dealt with and it's something that goes way back. Well, there are three things that Moses didn't do. But what did he do? What can you do? Well, in verse 25 there, it says, Moses cried out to the Lord. That's what you do. You see, Moses knew that God had led them. Moses had seen God's mighty hand, and he knew that God was in this. Without God, everything was lost. So he cries out to God. In this situation, you've got desperate people around you. You can imagine children, animals, older people, younger people, thirsty. And probably Moses was thirsty too. So what do? Well, you disperse it. You give it to God. Let him have it. Let go and don't hang on to it. You give it over to God. So when you're disappointed, talk to the Lord first. That's the mark of a Christian leader. I can remember a situation years ago when, as a school principal, where a staff member let me down. And I was terribly disappointed. This person was a close friend of mine, someone I'd known outside of teaching as well, went to the same church as me, and did something very disappointing in the school situation. And it really hit me hard. And I was disappointed for them, disappointed for their children, disappointed for the school. But thankfully, I had learnt this lesson about giving it to God. And my disappointment was short-lived because as I handed it over to God, I saw that God broadened my perspective. And I saw God change the situation in a way that I thought I could never have figured out myself. The mark of a Christian leader is to hand things over to God. So instead of gossiping or moaning, cast your cares on God because he cares for you, from 1 Peter 5:7. Give your disappointment to God and say, Lord, you take this, please. And when you've done that, comes this last step. You let God reverse it. You let him turn it around and bring good out of it. Think about Joseph in Genesis. Think about Joseph. He was betrayed by his brothers, put into the pit, left to die. And eventually, of course, he finds his way to Egypt. And he rises to the high office. And he's in a position now of power. His brothers come to him. And in Genesis 50:20, there's a wonderful verse which says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. It's a good verse to learn, because things that have been intended for harm have been turned for good. And in this situation, as Joseph had his trust in God, he saw God change a bad situation, a disappointment, into a victory. Not only for himself, but for his family. And there was blessing for all. So it's a fact of life, isn't it, that many people along the way will hurt us and disappoint us. I remember meeting a man at a dinner a number of years ago in Greensboro when I went to the Anglican Church in Greensboro. And this was a dinner for elderly people. I used to go along sometimes and be involved in doing some music and entertainment. This man was from Eastern Europe. I think he was from Poland. And I remember him telling me, as I was chatting to him after we'd eaten the meal, and he told me of his disappointment about how his family, he had two sons, and he said one son, both sons live in Melbourne, one son lives in Briar Hill, and he lived in Greensboro, so it was a suburb right next door, and his other son lived in Melbourne a bit further away. He was a businessman. And this man's disappointment was, he said, my son's never come to see me. He said, they live in Melbourne, they live close, but he said, I never see them. They never call me, they're too busy. You see, disappointments are a part of life. But Moses handled the situation correctly because he gave it to God. And we see that God provided a solution. Moses cried out to God. The third lesson we learn here is that the greatest shortages in life are often followed by fullness. In verse 27, it says that they left Mara, where the water was bitter, and they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. An oasis with springs and palms, it's Palm Springs, a place of absolute delight right in the desert, more than enough water. As you read the chapter, you see that they spend over a month staying there at Elim with dates and palms, because the greatest shortages in life are often followed by fullness. How far is it from Elim to Mara? Well, if you look at a map, it's about 8 kilometres, just down the road or around the corner. It's not far, is it? Why didn't God take them straight to that place where there's all the palm trees and the water and the shade? God tested them. They had to learn this important lesson of trusting in God. You see, it was right down the road, but they stopped at Mara and they're complaining and griping and being negative. Perhaps one of the reasons that this story is from Exodus is in the Bible is to remind us that we stop too soon. We stop at Mara and get discouraged, and it's disappointing. We don't go on. We don't get past that. The message is, keep on going, even if things seem to be hard, even if God seems not to be working. Don't throw in the towel. Elim is right around the corner. Keep that hope of what lies ahead. Well, how do you get there? Well, you keep on going. You keep on trusting God. Notice that God didn't bring Elim to them. They got there by keeping on and not giving up in spite of their feelings. And perhaps some people here this morning are facing a kind of Mara that's an emotional Mara, a bitterness inside of your feelings. Or maybe it's a physical Mara, where you're disappointed about how your health is or what lies ahead. Or perhaps you're just feeling spiritually dried up inside. Well, my encouragement to you this morning is to keep on going and to keep doing those things that we know will bring us closer to God. Praying, giving, serving, and reading the Bible and trusting God. You see, Mara is on the map. God knows exactly where you are today. The issue is, how long are you going to stay there? God's solution to our bitterness is a tree. You know, the branch that Moses picks up, throws it in the water, and the water changes. God, his solution is in Calvary, where Jesus hung on a cross, piece of wood, and took our bitterness, our guilt, and our regrets and disappointments to give us a new hope and a new heart and to give us a new future. How to deal with disappointment? Here's the encouragement from God's word today: to put your trust in him, even if it seems to be difficult at the moment. Elim is around the corner. Let us pray. Loving Father, we come before you today and we admit that we're forgetful people. We forget how you've been with us in the past. We forget how many times you've saved us and delivered us and helped us. And we pray, Lord, that you'd help us today. If there are things in our life that we need to deal with that we haven't got past, to bring them to you, to have confidence that you can change these things and can turn this bitterness into sweetness in our lives. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you call us together as your body, as a community, to serve you, and that we have the support of fellow Christian brothers and sisters, that we can bear one another's burdens. Help us to be open and honest, to share our hurts and our disappointments with others so they can support us and pray for us. And Lord, help us again to come with thankful hearts, seeing that you are the God who heals us and delivers us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.